Hello and welcome to Kids Get Acquainted with the Internet, a Girl Meets World podcast. I'm Dan and today I'm joined by Cheryl Texera, aka Katie Hart.
Yay! Hello. Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Thank you for coming on. This is gonna be really exciting. We got a lot of great questions for you from Twitter and everything.
I know. I saw. Oh my goodness.
But before we jump into that and basically more of the acting-based questions, I guess can you give me a little bit of your life outside of acting, like some of your hobbies, favorite TV shows, that kind of thing?
Oh wow. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I'm originally from Mayapack, New York. It's like a small town about an hour north of New York City.
Cool.
And I'm part of a big family. I'm one of five kids and I absolutely adore my siblings and I don't see them enough. And yeah, like my hobbies, like it's kind of, oh, it's going to sound so cliche, but I guess like reading and writing and dancing and yoga, like those are kind of like my go-tos. But like I like reading a lot of self-help books, like not like novels.
Yeah, interesting.
So yeah, and then TV shows, I have too many, which is embarrassing. Oh my gosh, there's so much good TV out there right now.
There really is, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Okay, so one that I'm obsessed with is Transparent.
Okay, cool.
Have you seen it?
I haven't. I really want to. I've heard great things.
It's so amazing. From the trailer, I've been hooked.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I love Transparent. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Girls coming back. it's so funny. Whenever someone asks this question, I know so many. Here's the thing. Like I watch, if it's on HBO, I watch it. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, if it's on Showtime, I watch it.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Well, those are good. Those are good options to go to.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do you know? One that I'm crazy about is, Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kimmy Schmidt's a lot of fun. Yeah.
So fun. Tina Fey is brilliant.
Yeah. I think they just got renewed for its third season before the second season even came out. So we'll be getting a lot more Kimmy Schmidt. Yeah.
So funny. I mean, I watched that series and then I went back and I just watched, I'll just like watch the episodes again.
Nice. I was expecting you to say dancing with the hobby stuff because I noticed there were a few like award type or like you did well and so you think you can dance, I think it was.
Oh yeah. Yes. That kind of got me out to LA a little bit.
Oh, really?
I fell into the dance world. I mean, now it's so long ago. but yeah, I literally fell into it without training and I started choreographing some regional productions in New York.
Cool.
Of like musicals, because that's pretty much where like my foundation comes from, is theater and everything. And kind of just always had rhythm, and a friend was putting up a show and his choreographer kind of bailed out at the last minute and I was like, I've never done this before but I know how to dance. And yeah. I was like, I could maybe do a number. And then within a week, he was like, you're doing the whole show. and I thought it was so funny because I got paid for it and I got paid well. Nice. And I was like, well, wouldn't it be so funny if I started teaching dance, even though I've never been trained in it?
Yeah.
And that started happening. And then I auditioned for a thing for MTV. And then I auditioned for So You Think You Can Dance. And yeah, it was so long ago, but yeah. It's still it's such a part of me. And yeah, like now it's kind of like I took quite a bit of a break from it because my focus, it's so funny, you know, years ago when you came out to pursue any type of entertainment career, people would always ask you, well, are you this or are you that? Are you a dancer or are you an actor? Are you a singer or are you a choreographer? And there was, you know what I mean? Like there was such a separation and now everyone is a multi-hyphenate.
Yeah.
So there you go. So dancing is definitely.
We're going to get some dancing numbers of you in Girl Meets World?
I don't know. Oh my God.
God, yeah.
I can't. We need to pitch that to Michael. Done. I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be really great. All right, so we have mainly Twitter questions, like I said. I'm just going to say to the listeners out there, I'm sorry if we don't get to everyone. We got more questions than I expected.
That's great.
Yeah. I tried to give us some sort of chronology or flow to where these questions go. So we're going to start off with from at GMW Buzz, and okay. She asks, how long have you been acting, and what type of training did you do?
Okay. I knew I wanted to act when I was, like, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I really started acting in, like, the high school plays. And then I started going on professional auditions from the time that I was in college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And then, okay. And then there was another part of that question. And what type of training did I do? Primarily it was like theater.
Yeah.
The primary training. A whole bunch of theater, which I haven't done theater in so long and I miss it terribly.
I was watching some of your Confessions of a Bittersweet Actress stuff earlier today. Is the stuff about you as, like, being a 5-year-old, is that all real?
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as wanting to, from that age on, be an actress.
Yeah, that scenario is real.
Yeah.
That scenario where I stormed in the kitchen and demanded my mom put me on TV is pretty accurate, with the exception of, like, me throwing my cereal. Everything else is pretty spot on. Oh yeah.
That's great.
I knew what I wanted.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So this next one is from Ice. Ice Can Sing from Twitter. And they say, what was your initial reaction to the character of Katie Hart? And then I add just a little bit, like, what attracted you to that role kind of thing?
I mean, like, what wouldn't attract me to her? She's so fun. I guess my initial thought on the role was, it was interesting because I can't remember if I got, I don't recall them having that big monologue in the classroom in the original script. And I don't think they did. They had an interaction back and forth in the classroom.
Yeah.
And initially, I just remember, you know, she's interesting. She's a complex character. And what I love about Michael Jacobs is that he doesn't make any, you know, one or two dimensional characters. He gives everyone flaws.
Yeah.
And he gives everyone strengths and weaknesses, and I love it, and vulnerability. And although I didn't necessarily see all of that right away, I feel like I've come to see that, and I really love it.
Great. While you're talking about that, do you want to answer at Jess Say and T's question about what is the audition like? And
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was one of the most... it was so... Okay, I was on my toes from the moment I walked in the room. Okay, so I got to the audition, and you know, it's like with any audition, you see so many people that you're so similar to that you just kind of want to keep your eyes down.
Yeah.
And I remember checking in and walking out into the hallway and just being like, when they call my name, I will walk in there. And they started moving really fast through the people auditioning. Yeah. And I just remember walking in, and we had, I mean, quite a few scenes, quite a few pages.
Yeah.
And I learned all of them, and I walked in. I think I got a page and a half done with the first scene, and Sally and Barbie were like, all right, next. And I was like, and they were like, next scene. And I was like, okay. And then I did like half of another scene, and they were like, okay, yeah, can you come back to me free? And I was like, yeah, okay. So I hung around, and then again, I like to remove myself from, you know, any kind of waiting room tension.
Yeah. As I saw from your video.
I was standing in the hallway when all of the producers walked in, and it's like you just feel like that moment where, like, one by one they're walking in, and it's like it's time. And I walked into the audition, and originally the script called for Katie to have a Southern accent, and I started doing the scene in a Southern accent, and someone stopped and was like, stop, why are you speaking in a Southern accent? It's in the script. And then they were like, no. And so, you know, and then I was thrown the redirection to do it in like a New York accent. So I did that. And then they were like, no, say your lines to the camera. So I did that. And they were like, no, jump to this scene, which I hadn't done in the original audition. And so I threw that out. And it was just, it was really like, I was very much on my toes.
Yeah. Wow.
I, I love it. I won't forget it.
So, what were you never actually like reading with Sabrina or anything like that?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, yeah. And all of that was so interesting. I typically in an audition, you have a reader who's off camera, who is basically your scene partner, and you make eye contact with them and you do the whole scene to them.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they chose for me to not, and I'm sure it wasn't just me, I'm sure it was everyone.
Yeah.
They chose for me to direct all of my lines directly into the camera, which I've only done that like once before. So I thought that that was very interesting. So I wonder
Yeah.
how, yeah. I don't
So
know.
was Michael Jacobs one of the people there at the
Oh yeah.
time?
Oh
Okay,
yeah, he was.
interesting.
Yeah, he
Well,
was. He may have been the one to tell me to stop speaking in this other accent.
Oh man. Man, that takes so much courage. I can't even imagine.
Oh, he's amazing. He's, yeah.
To switch gears for a little bit, I like this next question. It's from at StarWarder5. They ask,
Okay.
who do you believe is the clutter bucket in the family, Kermit or Katie?
Okay, who do you believe is the clutter bucket in
I
the
think it's Kermit.
family? You do? Okay.
Do you think?
So too,
Yeah.
Katie Hart, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's my thought process. I guess I love the way they worded that question because it almost sounds like it's like you're asking like who's the failure in the family or something. Like, I
Oh
don't
my, well,
know.
that's certainly a way that you can look
Yeah.
at it, Dan,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh man. So talking a little bit more about the character. So at C Seba McLean, or I think McLean. I'm sorry if I'm not saying this right. They ask, do you feel that Katie is a good representation of a strong, independent woman?
I mean, well, here's the thing. What is a good representation of a strong, independent woman in this person's mind? Do you know what I mean? I think
Yeah.
so, but it's like with anything. I think she's a great representation of someone who's doing her best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think she is independent. I think she is strong, but it's in her own right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's struggling, but she's making it work. You
Yeah, and
know.
I, yeah, exactly. And I think what I love about Katie is that she, I don't know if she would ever admit to I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself takes a lot of strength. But I know of regarding how other people might see her, that might not be the case. So,
Yeah. Well, so as other people, I might even include Maya, I was gonna
yeah.
ask, I mean, I'm maybe making a jump here, but I'm saying Maya somewhat seems to feel like Katie has failed her as a parent in certain respects. And do you think that is like fair of her, and in what ways does she still need to grow as a parent?
I mean, I know that this is like a hot button issue because I've seen some of the comments and some of the
Yeah.
tweets about some of the storylines
Yeah.
with Maya and stuff. I think, first off, I almost feel like you would be hard pressed to find any teenager who feels like their parent is doing a perfect job.
Very true.
So, you know what I mean? So I feel like Maya feeling let down is an accurate representation of what a teenager in her position would most likely feel.
Yeah.
And in regards to growth with Katie, of course, I mean, who does, like you keep growing through life.
Yeah.
Everybody still has room to grow. But yeah, I'm excited. I'll be honest. I am excited, and I hope we get to see more scenes and interaction with Maya and Katie.
I totally agree, yeah.
You know, right?
I'd like to
Yeah.
see Katie at the apartment, at the house, so I guess the two of them for a scene once in a while, you know?
At Katie's apartment?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be oh, that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just to see their dynamic. I know that we've had a little bit. We've had back and forths, you know, and whatnot. So you get a taste of it,
Yeah.
but yeah,
Yeah,
great.
it's interesting because I feel like a lot of what I feel like I've gotten from Katie's character was actually maybe even more from her interactions with Sean, or interactions with I was gonna say Rowan, with Riley. Especially, you know, it revealed a lot about how she thinks about Maya with her interactions with Riley.
Right.
But when it's the two of them together, it's kind of like there's so many shields up and stuff that you're not really getting the full thing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which it's almost like maybe if we haven't have I don't know, maybe a situation where they have to let their guard down in front of
Yeah.
the other one. Something, I don't know. Maybe we can chat with the writers about it. Throw it out and see
Yeah.
what happens.
All right. So this next one is another GMW Buzz question. They ask, "What's a typical week like for a Girl Meets World episode? How much rehearsal slash what's it like to for the live audience? All that kind of stuff."
What a great question. I
Yeah.
love, love, love this question. So typically you get, it's 5 days for the most part. And, you know, your first day is table read and a possible rehearsal.
Yeah.
And it's a table read in front of like the producers and everything to make sure, you know, like the jokes are hitting and everything.
Yeah.
And then you go into rehearsal and you rehearse 1 or 2 days, and then you have a run through with the writers, and then you do a network run through so that everyone can see what's happening and if there are any script changes at that point. And then we have 2 days of filming. So the first day is if there are any, you know, sets that or situations, like if there are any exterior shots that we need to do that you can't necessarily do in front of a live studio audience, or it just might not play right in front of a live studio audience. To keep the show moving, we do that, and then the next day, we finish any of those scenes, and then we have the audience show, and then we run through the whole show.
Cool. So when you're doing rehearsal, is that like on set, or is that just like is that more like the table reading stuff?
No, it's on set,
Oh,
man.
okay.
Yeah,
Okay, cool.
we're playing in that world. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Table read is like it's in like an office space,
Yeah.
and we're just at a big table. But yeah, no, all the rehearsal is
So that's more like adding in the blocking and all that stuff.
oh yeah,
Yeah.
like we're at Topanga's, we're in
Nice.
the bathroom. Yeah.
You're
Let
throwing cheesecake in people's faces.
me tell you something. They did not let me rehearse that. They rehearsed it on Kermit, but I did not. I got the one chance. Oh,
Well, you made it count.
thanks, man.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything more about interacting with the live audience and sort of feeding off that energy or anything like that?
I mean, dear, it's like it's a dream come true,
Yeah.
shooting in front of a live studio audience. Are you kidding? I mean, my goodness, the fans of the show are so amazing and incredible and loyal and supportive and excited to be there. I mean, you can feel their energy
Yeah.
even before we, you know, walk out, you know, and do any sort of introduction or bow or anything. I mean, it's amazing, and it's so special.
I imagine it's got to be like kind of the best of both worlds because you're kind of getting to do theater while also being on a TV show. Like, you get that live audience sort of theater feel
Yeah,
while, also getting
absolutely.
the niceness of editing and all that stuff too in the final product. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it comes to comedy,
Yeah.
there is nothing that you can compare getting that immediate feedback of a laugh as to whether or not a joke works. Like when Katie impersonated Riley's character, I'm pretty sure we did that. I'm pretty sure we did that in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
And I just remember like their feedback was what told us where the jokes really were.
Yeah.
It's like as an actor, I can choose where I think that they will be, but it's always interesting to hear where the audience really responds to something. So yeah.
That's really cool. That must be
Yeah.
really fun.
I love it.
So the next question's from at Neon Direction R5. They ask, "What is your favorite episode and why?"
Oh man.
Gotta be a hard one.
I know. I mean, of the series, I actually really loved the I Am Farkle episode,
Oh, nice.
personally.
Yeah.
I just thought that had a really wonderful message. But as for a Katie episode, I mean, I think Hurricane. I'm gonna have to go with
Cool.
Hurricane.
Yeah, I'm sure that must have been a good one for you.
Yeah.
And I guess sort of connected with that, we have a question from at OUAT 2011, and they asked favorite moment on set. So sort of, I must probably somewhat connected with that, but.
Oh man, like I feel like there are so many. well, I'm biting my tongue because I'm just like, I don't know, like how much do I share?
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. Do you know it was one of the coolest moments on set? I mean, just for anyone in this career, it was working with Cloris Leachman.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean, oh man, that woman is amazing. And just, yeah, that was so incredible. And the fact that I got to play with her, yeah, that was great.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that must have been really fun. So the next question's from at Queen of Rider. I bet you can guess what she's going to ask about.
Oh boy.
She says, Katie and Sean scenes have been some of my favorites of the show. So I have to ask, what's the best part about filming scenes with Rider?
Oh, he's such a great actor. He's so I'm losing all of my vocabulary. he's very generous with being a scene partner, which is so necessary, but especially when you're building a relationship, particularly in a show and in a world. It's like we are really getting to see Katie and Sean grow with each other in their relationship and whatnot, and like they're gonna be awkward, they're gonna be playful, they're gonna be weird. And I feel like Ryder allows all of that and is open to all of that and is open to playing, which is awesome.
Cool. I'm definitely a big Sean and Katie fan, so I'm looking forward to more of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sean Katie stuff in Hurricane I thought was really, really strong. So, I can't wait for more of that. Have you, I'm trying to remember if you've been in an episode that he's directed.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that been like?
But I don't, I was, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure the episode, I'm pretty sure it was only one. I'm pretty sure. And my scene was actually cut.
Oh.
It was when they were going to Texas.
Oh.
They had a scene in Topanga's where I guess it's kind of like they asked for permission to go to Texas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like Katie did something like back and forth with Sabrina and Ryder and his brother were directing.
Cool. I don't know how much you can talk about this, but like how often do they end up filming like significantly more than we end up seeing on screen? Like, is there like usually scenes that are cut or...
Do you know that was the first episode I have done where a scene was cut?
Okay.
So pretty much what you guys see is what we filmed.
Yeah. Because I do always find that interesting because I remember like on shows like The Office and stuff, they would film so much stuff and you'd watch the deleted scenes and it would be like this length of an episode or something.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're also improvising on the show and riffing and oh my God.
Yeah. So, taking a few steps back, at Jonah Almost Fame asked a similar question to the writer question, but was more specifically asking about Sabrina too, and what it was like working with Sabrina. If you have any stories there.
Oh, she's great. She's a strong actress. She's a great person. She's so mature for her age. all of the kids on the show. I feel weird even calling them kids because they're so grown up. They're wonderful people. I mean, I'm constantly blown away whenever I watch them interact with the fans, honestly, because listen, I knew I wanted to be in this career at their age, but I wasn't in it. And it's you know, I was in a high school play. So they have all of these, you know, responsibilities of being a part of a show and driving a show. And then on top of that, I mean, they are literally becoming celebrities and what that is like at their age. And they just wear it with such grace.
Yeah.
And I think it's incredible.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by them. I'm learning things about politics from Rowan on a daily basis. So
I wish I wish I had like Rowan's, unapologetic candor now, let alone at 14. Forget that. Like, I wish I had that now.
Same here. I was gonna ask actually, I forgot to write this down. Have you ever been acted as a mother before, or is working with Sabrina the first time?
I have. I play a mother on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as Jane Ponderosa, which is she's a different kind of mom. And I've played like a mom here and there and stuff.
I feel bad for Always Sunny fans because I've never seen it, so I didn't have any questions on that. But I should check it out.
It's really fun. Yeah, it's very, they're hilarious.
Cool. At Nan from Florida asks, she says, Katie was the impetus for a controversial Girl Meets World arc in Yearbook, where basically it's like he's your brother. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Let me tell you something. Every time I pick up a script and there is something about that whole possible love triangle thing in it, I feel like a 15-year-old girl freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? Wait, the question is, what are my thoughts? I guess those are my thoughts. Like, I'm just as surprised whenever an arc happens or a turn happens, just like you guys.
If I could ask who you ship, do you have an answer?
I am not, no.
That's
I'm not jumping into that.
probably a smart choice. Oh man. So Nan also asks, which Girl Meets World character other than Katie do you relate to?
Corey.
That's a good one.
And I mean, I freaking like, what's not to love about
Yeah, seriously.
Topanga? I almost wonder what character did they think I would relate to.
That's a good question. Nan will have to get back to
Dan, let me know.
So then I ask, were you presented with a more comprehensive backstory for what happened with Kermit beyond what the audience was shown?
Nope.
You were not. So do you have anything that you build up in your head for like what happened there, or do you have any theories?
I do. I think I'm gonna, I'll keep it to myself. Yeah, just because, I mean, yeah, it's kind of it is interesting because I think this is actually something that I should start and chat with the writers about and be like, am I way off base? But yeah,
Interesting.
I've thought quite a bit about
All right.
it.
Well, I'll let you keep your secrets.
Thanks.
Oh man. Well, David was not forthcoming about that either, so you guys are together in that. Oh man. So at Ryan Megara says, were you a fan of Boy Meets World? And I asked is, have you watched it either before the role or since the role or anything like that?
Course, come on. I was like totally a 90s kid.
Nice.
Yes. I TGI Friday, I was all about that.
Really cool.
Oh my gosh.
So then that's good because you understand the reference in this next question, which is at Backstreet Gem asks, was Katie originally intended to be more of a Werner or Chet type? There seems to have been a major shift in Katie after she was introducing Girl Meets Maya's mother, particularly in season two.
I couldn't agree more. I really don't know. I do not know if she was kind of supposed to be, in a way, like a female version of Chet. I don't know. It is interesting. It's Michael Jacobs has said, you can create a character and then the actor kind of brings it to life. And I know that he's mentioned that before, and I have no idea. I don't know if things that he saw changed his perspective. I don't know if his vision pretty much was always to have Katie be how she is now. But I agree. I agree. When we first met Katie, I feel like she wasn't quite where she is now. Yeah, as a
She
person.
was per maybe a little bit more flawed than now. She seems like she's still struggling, but she's more of a more positive force in Maya's life, I would say, than what it seemed like it was originally.
Which may have been a character growth,
Yeah.
over the course of a season, given new opportunities. And I mean, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, I don't think as an actor, you don't necessarily want to be just, you know, Chet 2.0. You want to be Katie. And so I can certainly see that, you know, the merit there too.
It is interesting. I love how much more of like a mother that I feel like Katie really became in season two. Like she, like, especially like that, I think it was like one of her first episodes in season two.
Yeah.
She was like, now that I'm going to be here, I'm going to give out valuable life living advice.
Yeah.
And I just remember, I'm like, oh, where'd this person come from? Because, you know, season one, she didn't want to, you know, she didn't feel comfortable confronting her daughter.
Yeah.
She felt like it was, you know, so, and I think that that's so interesting that it's, I don't know, that it's like, oh, that's, it's a turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it though. Yeah. I mean, I would have been just as happy playing her feeling even more uncomfortable in that situation, you know, and wanting to keep, but it's at some point you need to, if you're going to work with people, you need to be in scenes with them.
Yeah.
So, so we need to find some common ground.
Yeah, definitely. That actually just made me think of a question right here, which is, do you, if, personally, like, where would you want to see the character go? Do you want her to become more successful as an actress? Do you want her to, you know, sort of hang that up and go on a different path? Or do you have any hopes for her?
That's interesting. I think at the end of the day, I think Katie is a happy person, but I genuinely want her to find success and happiness. I think Katie finding some sort of success would really be significant. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that can come in so many different ways. I mean, it could be like her starting, you know, just a you know, maybe she makes a recipe or something and it like becomes a, I don't know.
Yeah,
I almost don't want to give out, like, I don't want to throw out storylines to have people think that I'm trying to pitch something, but it's something like that. Cause I feel like she would, I don't know, there would be a certain sense of pride and then you could certainly marry that into a situation with Maya.
Cool.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah. No. I understand not wanting to super get into specifics because, so the next question is, as Sean's new romantic potential interest here, have you experienced much pushback from Boy Meets World fans who wanted him to be with Angela? Or do you feel like most fans are sort of on board with this new pairing?
I think the fans have been generous enough that if there is pushback, they're not tagging me.
Yeah. That is kind of them.
Yeah. So, so I think if I went digging for it, I could certainly find it, but I haven't felt it personally.
Yeah. I mean, cause I think the what I've noticed is any pushback there is more just about loving Sean and Angela, not about disliking Katie. And that's kind of the best you can hope for, because there are always going to be those Sean and Angela fans, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's much not to like about them. They were a great couple.
Yeah, totally. So on that whole relationship tip here, I ask, do you have a sense of how often Sean and Katie are actually able to see each other? Because obviously we're not able to see all that on screen just because of writers' availability and stuff like that. And do you have any information as far as, like, how the relationship might have progressed behind the scenes? Like, is it still sort of early on? Are they falling in love? Do you know any of that? Are you able to say any of this?
I mean, any information I have is so vague. Mm. It wouldn't constitute itself as an answer. So I guess not really. I have an actor answer ish. Mm. But even then, it's not quite clear.
Yeah.
I guess I'll find out next time I'm on set, maybe.
All right. I'm sorry to try to eke out these hints, but I have to try.
Hey, I'm with you. I've got all these questions and more.
All right. So then we got a few different people asking about things involving season three now that production is starting there. At MRobeLee14 said, what's to come with Katie's character in season three? And then at OUAT2011 asks, is it a bigger role? And at Voidful Bones says, like, is there going to be more Katie and Maya scenes? So it's just generally, like, anything, you know, as far as season three, maybe your role in it, anything.
Well, every time I get a phone call saying you're coming to set, I get just as giddy as anyone would.
Yeah.
So it's as far as I know, it's not. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the plans as of yet for her character.
One season, you don't have to talk necessarily about season three, but like in season two, do you find out at the beginning of season two, like you're going to have this many episodes, or is it just kind of as things go?
Not with season two. No, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. I would love more Katie and Maya scenes. I think that would be great. I would love to also see the friendship develop between Katie and Topanga. I think that there's a lot of fun dynamics, and I love working with Danielle. She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just as anxious as you are, or as you guys are, to find out what is happening. What's going on?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I can't wait to see more of that, and I do hope that your role gets even bigger this year, because I think there's a lot more to mine there.
Thanks.
All right. So we have a couple of non-Girl Meets World questions here from me. So some Girl Meets World fans out there might not know about your YouTube series, Confessions of. Do you want to quickly sort of pitch the series to listeners before I ask you more about it?
Absolutely. Well, it's a... Confessions of the series, it's a sketch variety show that basically takes you inside the mind of me as I'm going through certain scenarios in my life. Mm. And there, so far we've done three seasons of it. So the first one was Confessions of a Bride-to-Be, which was me kind of losing my mind and and being introduced to very interesting characters while planning my wedding. Yeah. Season two was Confessions of a Bittersweet Actress, which was, you know, as we briefly spoke about, going on auditions, meeting agents, and, you know, trying to figure it out as an actor. And then the season that we just wrapped was Confessions of a Bartender, and it really takes you behind the bar and gives you an inside look as to what it's like, with some song and dance as well. Yes.
And you have a new season on the way, right?
Yeah, it's called Confessions of a Yogi, and we're literally in development for it right now.
Cool.
Yeah, so exciting.
So I watched a bunch of this today, and I want to give it the Kagawi seal of approval. It's a lot of fun, so if you guys haven't checked that out, then...
Thanks. That's funny.
Yeah. So, I'm interested in what inspired you to start all this and create a production company and go out and make your own content.
I don't like sitting around. I don't fare well with that. Yeah. But in the back of my mind, I always knew I would be a producer. I just didn't know I would be a producer this early on. Because it's kind of like when you look at, you know, the history of Hollywood, I certainly think times are a-changing.
Yeah.
But you tend to see certain careers of women, and then they taper off at a certain point in their life, and I never wanted that to happen. So even if it meant me creating projects for myself so that I was still working, I knew that I would basically be filling that role to make that happen at some point. And then with Crazy Chick Productions, and in particular with Confessions, it just happened. Mm. It happened at a point. I always say Confessions happened all the while I was kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to do it. So, yeah.
I mean, I was looking, and I was just impressed, if you just look from season to season, how the production values increase, and clearly your visions for making this broader and broader, it really comes through. And I'm very interested in this stuff too, as someone, I was a film major in college, and I'm a writer too. And so I just think it's really cool that you were able to go out there and do that stuff. And so I was interested if you could tell me a little bit about your writing process and how you went about making these sketches and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're a writer, so you definitely know at the end of the day, you need to sit down and write.
Yeah.
For me, the hardest task.
Yeah.
Just getting in front of the computer. My in regards to the confession series, the way that I
Yeah.
go about writing it is I'll have an idea for the series, and a lot of times I'll just jot down either dialogue notes or character notes. And I typically like to write the episodes when I have an idea that I'll actually be shooting them. I wrote a blog about it, like 10 things that I learned producing a web series, where I don't recommend doing that. And I recommend writing the script right now. If you have the idea, put it on paper now. You can always revise it. So basically, I'll come up with an overall concept. In particular, Bartender, I had so many pages of character ideas and dialogue back and forth and scenarios, everything, that it was a blur, and it didn't really break up into episodes until I started kind of feeding through it. And then I would basically be like, all right, so what is this one particular episode? And then where does this scenario go? And, you know, with the bar etiquette song, I had so many scenarios with bar etiquette that I just knew I wanted to create a song about it. And then you finally get down and you put your chicken scratch down on paper and put it into some sort of format. And then you just clean it up as much as you can, and then you show up to set.
Cool. So in a similar vein, like, I was wondering what it was about the sort of episodic sketch-based format that appealed to you over, say, maybe a more narrative-based, you know, sort of serialized web series. Is the sketch thing, like, the zone that you find the most interesting that you want to stay in, or...
So, no. It's so funny. I love the sketch world. I love playing in it. But I think it really goes back to, you know, when you said, what's my favorite show on TV right now? And I said Transparent. That couldn't be further from a sketch world, you know? I would say that Transparent is the ideal world that I would love to put like a half hour program of either Confessions or another type of show into. Confessions really came from, I was taking this class, and it was a web series class about just putting stuff up on the web. And I didn't want to do it. I was really resistant to it. And basically the teacher said, either you just wasted your money or you're going to do it. And so I was planning my wedding at the time, and I threw the idea out to a couple people, basically where I was just venting about what I had to do as a bride. And a girl turned to me and said, I would watch that. And that was really the inspiration, where I was like, all right. So I went home and I kind of wrote down a monologue of me venting about my wedding, and I filmed it. And that was the first episode. And then the very next episode, I enjoy banter between characters. So I love playing characters. So the very next episode, I threw on a character, and the teacher watched and he was like, that's your show. And it's very interesting when you have an outside opinion like that, when you have outside eyes on your project, they're able to see it in a way that you can't necessarily all the time. And for me, when I say I was really figuring this whole putting a video up thing in and of itself, for someone to simply come along and be like, that's interesting. Was so helpful because it gives so much clarity to like, oh, well, if that's it, well, I can keep doing that. Oh, well, I can stretch this out. I can make more characters. I've got characters all day long. Let's do that, you know? And then I just loved Confessions. And there are so, I mean, the ideas are, and I mean, the possibilities are endless, so.
And I think it's really cool how autobiographical so much of it seems to be, because it gives it an extra layer of, you know, it just feels so real. And, you know, you have the humor there, but you have, like, something actually to say about this stuff, which I think is great.
Thanks. That's probably the most, any resistance I have is because of that. So, thanks.
So I'm interested a little bit about, like, the sort of the basic production process of that series, as far as like how you go about, like, building your cast and crew and all that stuff, and how it started as like sort of like a almost like a vlog type of thing and grew into this big production.
I feel so incredibly blessed to have the production team I have. So I have two producers, my husband, Ryan Demery, and the other producer is Peter Marr. Mm-hmm. So I did Bride to Be. And Peter Marr was in the class with me that I was put it while I was doing Bride to Be. And at the end of the class, and it was only like 6 weeks, he turned to me and said, you know, if you ever want to up your production value, let me know. I have some lavalier mics, you know, and they're just little mics that you can, you know, get better audio quality out of. And he's like, let me know. And a year later, I had the idea for Bittersweet Actress, and I wrote about 6 episodes. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it right.
Yeah.
And I called Peter, and I said, hey, remember you told me about those lavalier mics? And, I mean, you want to talk about the stars aligning. He goes, yes. Also, I have access to a PBS soundstage and a set that was just built for this show that's also going on YouTube. And he's like, why don't you come check out the set and tell me what you think? And I came, and it was bright and colorful and amazing. And it's almost like if you had to ask me to build a set for Confessions of a Bittersweet Actress, I don't think I would have made such I don't think I would have made such an impression as like those colors did. So immediately we were like, oh my gosh, we have so many ideas, we have so many possibilities. So I scoped out the location, and I had my 6 episodes. I threw on an additional song before we jumped into shoot, and I think the first, and we shot 2 weekends in a row. So I mapped it out, and I had a handful of actors that I knew I wanted to work with because I was working in sketch already.
Yeah.
And Peter also had an idea for an actor friend of his to come on. And I literally just sat down, and I roughly did a rough schedule of when I thought everything, how long I thought things would take. And of course, they take so much more time.
Yes, of course. I know that well.
Right? So we did that, and it was amazing. And then with Bartender, it was a little different. It was a bit more haphazard because I didn't know if I would get access to the bar until a week before we ended up shooting, and I hadn't written any of the scripts yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that, again, I don't recommend that. Write it now.
Yeah.
So I already had Peter ready to go, and he jumped on board, and then we hired, you know, a pro sound guy, and my husband does all of the sound mixing, and he writes if there's an original song in there where I'm singing on it, he did all the music for it. So it's just incredible. That's amazing.
That must be so fun.
It's a lot. It's you know, it's kind of, it's exciting and fun and kind of a blur until you're out of it and you're like, oh yeah, we just had a great day.
I mean, I've always, one of the things I've always loved about film as opposed to like other kinds of work is when you finish, you don't just like, you finish the work, but then you have like a product to look at, and you're like, oh, I remember this day, and it was awesome, and here's the product, and that's so much fun.
It versus like theater, you know what I mean? Like theater, it's like, oh, unless someone records it.
I mean, that's both the sad thing and the great thing about theater is that it
exactly.
is, you know. So the next question I was going to sort of ask is about what it's been like trying to find an audience on YouTube and how you've sort of gone about that and built up your fan base.
Well, I would say I'm still learning. But I mean, as you know, social media is all about just it's interaction and cross promoting. And I mean, honestly, if I do Confessions of a Yogi on YouTube, I will definitely be reaching out to YouTube people to partner up with because so much of it is from what I'm learning from the experts that I'm speaking with. It is very much about collaboration.
Cool. Which connects with my next question, which is just generally, what advice would you give someone who's looking to try to get into YouTube, try to get their own web series started?
Well, there is no, I mean, I would say don't try to get into YouTube. YouTube is such an amazing format that you can just start posting anything right now. and start sharing and commenting and liking other people's videos so that they, you know, might be drawn to come and check out yours.
Yeah.
If you want to do a scripted web series, it takes discipline like anything. And just kind of, if you have an idea, write that idea down, figure out an outline, and put a script together. You'd be shocked, or you might not be shocked at all, as to how many people are more than happy to get on board and play. If you're basically bringing a party to, you know, to your friends to be like, listen, I made this thing. You want to be a part of it?
Yeah.
You'd be shocked as to how many people are like, yeah, I mean, yeah. And then there are so many, I don't know what market you might be in, but there are so many people with camera equipment now. We are in such a wonderfully digital age where, I mean, how many people have just a great camera that can shoot something? And then just jump in, you know, get iMovie or get some other sort of editing device where you can just like chop it up and then post it. And honestly, do your best.
Yeah.
And then at some point, your best has to be good enough, and you have to share it, and then go and make the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The biggest piece of advice I can say is just do it. You're going to learn simply by doing, but if you don't start, you won't learn.
Yeah, very true. All right, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want to sort of promote, either projects you've worked on, causes you care about, anything like that?
There are so many causes I care about. I feel like all of the major causes I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've talked about so much.
Yeah.
Cool. So no, I think we've covered quite a bit. It was great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on. Listeners out there, if you want to, you know, connect with the podcast more, you can either email us at gmwpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @gmwpodcast and send us, feedback on this episode and anything else like that. Your thoughts. I'd love to talk to you guys. Also, if you leave us a rating or review on iTunes, that would really help us out, help us connect with even more people. And if you want to check out our website, we have gmwpodcast.com. We have guest blogs people write in there, and there's a lot of fun. So if you want to submit a guest blog, you can do that through the email as well. Cheryl, do you want to promote any of your social media or anything like that?
Sure. I'm on Twitter and Facebook, and it's just Cheryl Texera. I also just joined Periscope today.
Nice.
I've got a thing on there, and that's just @CherylTexera. And then I have a new website, CherylTexera.com, where you can sign up for my newsletter.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right. Anything else?
No, Dan, this was so great. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
Thank you for coming on. This has been really great, and I learned a lot, so that was great.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for coming on, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And as always, dream, try, do good. Class dismissed.